welcome to some amazing discussions from the voices of young America. Welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. In the next hour, you'll hear from leading women in academics, business, entertainment, and more. Now, here are your hosts.
Everyone knows that starting a small business is difficult. However, did you know that there are ways to make these troubles go away with just a click of a mouse? Join us with one of the brains behind such a platform. Thank you, and thank you for listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I am your host, Michelle Jaffe, sitting here today with Ms. Anu Bardwaj. And today we are joined with Rebecca Sprinson-Natick. How are you doing today, Rebecca?
I'm great, thank you.
Well, we love having you on our show today. Wouldn't mind just starting off by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I am the Senior Director of Communications at Infusionsoft. Infusionsoft is a sales and marketing automation software platform for small businesses and entrepreneurs. The majority of our customers have fewer than 25 employees, and they use our software to get organized, to grow their sales, and to save time.
Okay, and do you mind telling us a little bit about how exactly it works? What can small businesses do? What benefits can they get from this?
Sure. So we find the majority of entrepreneurs try to do everything themselves. They do their sales, their marketing, their operations, their HR, their IT. And really what they want to be doing is serving their customers.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be making products and connecting with people, and they don't want to spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to do social media, how to attract new customers to their building or to their business.
Right.
And they don't want to do things like invoicing and accounting, typically.
Mm-hmm.
So we've created a product. It's an online cloud-based solution that allows them to manage all of the behind-the-scenes pieces of their business
mm-hmm.
so that they can spend more time doing what they love. So it starts with a contact database, so they can take all of their contact information, their customers, their future customers, their vendors, they can put them all in one space.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, they can keep in contact, so they can automatically follow up through email, through direct mail, and they can also set tasks and reminders of like a calendar so that they can stay on top of all the things they need to do to run their business.
Okay.
And then we also have a shopping cart integrated mm-hmm. with our products so that they can sell their products online and do all of automated invoicing.
That sounds fantastic. I was actually talking to you before that I actually have a sister who's an entrepreneur, and platforms like this really take the scariness away from having your own business, because as we all know, being an entrepreneur is risky, and taking all of these different roles into one person, it's hard.
It is. And, you know, consumers like us, when we go out to buy, we have high expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be that we would cut small businesses a little bit of slack. We don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We expect that if we go to your website, that you're going to follow up with me right away. You're going to deliver excellent customer service. You're going to collect my revenue through a credit card.
Right.
Nobody collects checks anymore, right? Which was the backbone of small business for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we also expect that when you communicate with us, it's going to be timely and relevant, and it's going to look good on my mobile phone.
Right.
And those are a lot of things that small businesses have to try to figure out how to manage.
Mm-hmm. Especially in a society where we focus so much attention on being the greatest in the market and using technology to our advantage as
mm-hmm.
well.
You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm.
Right. And it was mentioned that Infusionsoft was nominated the 17th best workplace in America. So what was it like getting that award?
Oh, it was great. So we pride ourselves on our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Our CEO, Clayton Mask, frequently says, to have happy customers, you first need to have happy employees.
Mm-hmm.
Happy employees make happy customers, which make happy shareholders. And we find that to be very true. So from the very first day that they started the company 12 years ago, they have been very, very focused on creating a culture where people can come in, take ownership of their area, whether that's sales or marketing or engineering, and take pride in their work. And so we have a really great culture, and we applied to the Best Places to Work competition. They do a really, really detailed, thorough survey of everyone in the company, and they ask questions about leadership, they ask questions about benefits, and we were named the 17th best place to work in America. So we were very proud of that.
And how does the fact that you're such a great workplace, how does that bring out the best in your workers?
You know, it's really interesting because I do a lot of hiring, and being a great place to work, of course, attracts a lot of really great people. So there are definitely pluses and minuses to that.
Mm-hmm.
On the positive side, we can get some really amazing people in the company. On the flip side, we want to find the very best, And we need to find people that fit with our culture. And our culture is very much around serving our small business customers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we hire people that fit our core values. And if they can fake their way into the company, we often find that we have to let them go very quickly if they're right. not part of that culture. Mm-hmm. So we're very, very intentional about who we hire and who we bring in and how we train them to be effective stewards of our culture.
Right. And this platform for Infusionsoft, is it only for American businesses or maybe just businesses out of Arizona, or is it more on a global scale? What's the scope?
So the majority of our customers are in the U.S., but 20% are in English-speaking countries around the world.
Okay.
We just had a competition. We had our annual conference last week at the mm-hmm. Phoenix Convention Center. We had 3,000 entrepreneurs that joined us, and about 10% of them traveled from around the world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was great. And we were really excited. Every year we have a competition called mm-hmm. the Small Business Icon Competition. And it gives an opportunity for three of our customers to share their stories. And then the winner gets selected by the audience through text message vote. It's kind of like American Idol.
Right.
and our winner this year was from Australia. So it was really exciting.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So do you believe that this platform also promotes networking? Is there a networking aspect to what you do?
Oh, absolutely. One of my favorite parts about the conference last week, which was called Icon 14, is the networking that happens. Mm-hmm. So being an entrepreneur can feel very lonely. Frequently, entrepreneurs are misunderstood. They're misunderstood by their family, their friends, the government. I mean, they get talked down to a lot, too. And if you look every election cycle, some politician is talking about what we're going to do for small business. Mm-hmm. But they really don't understand what small businesses really need. So when you get 3,000 entrepreneurs and small businesses in the same room, it's almost like a love fest. I mean, they find each other and they are excited and they are networking and chatting and making connections and feeling understood for the first time in a long time. And it's a beautiful, amazing, energizing thing.
You sound like a great dating service.
Actually, we have had a couple of customers that have met.
Really?
And, yeah, we really have.
That's exciting. And I'm almost getting a little sense of deja vu with how you're explaining your conferences. Anu, I think that this is extremely similar to the conferences and the summits that you have for Women Investing in Women.
Similar, but our focus is really trying to nurture women entrepreneurs and help connect them with women investors. And absolutely, but we have never had a conference of that size or scale, so definitely look to your guidance on that as we
sure.
start to grow.
Absolutely.
And support.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just the sense of support that you get when you're in a room with everybody who has the same mindset as you and has the same goals and to really help each other out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a big piece of that. We find we had some really great speakers this year, including Simon Sinek, who talks about being a great leader and starting with your purpose before you start with what you're actually doing. And he really connected and resonated with the audience. And there were a few tears, but they were happy tears of people actually feeling understood and supported for the first time in a long time.
And for those listeners out there who don't know who Simon is, could you tell us?
Oh, sure. Simon Sinek is a best-selling author of a book called Start With Why, and he also has one of the most watched TED Talks of all time.
Wow.
It's about 15 minutes long. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And his name is spelled S-I-M-O-N, last name Sinek, S-I-N-E-K. I definitely recommend checking out his TED Talk. It's great.
Great. And the fact that you mentioned that, I mean, some people were crying. I mean, it is happy tears because some people can just feel alone. We talked prior to this about how entrepreneurship and making your own business is relatively new, and it's part of an overall revolution in the business side of people's jobs. I mean, it didn't really exist as much before. So to have that recognition with somebody who has gone through the same things as you is really special.
Yeah, we find that the majority of our customers start their business not for financial reasons. I mean, money is important. They want to meet their basic financial goals and they want to be comfortable. But they start their business out of a passion for what they do and a longing for freedom and independence and control. Mm-hmm. They often find themselves stuck, especially women, often find themselves stuck in the corporate world. And they're very well educated, they're smart, they're professional, and they're trying to advance in their law firm, they're trying to advance in the corporate world, and it's not working for them. Either they don't like the culture mm-hmm. or they don't like the balance or the lack of balance. They don't find that they have the flexibility to start a family or pursue the things that they love to do. And at the end of the day, if you're really, really smart and motivated and driven, why not work for yourself? Because then you can fully reap the benefits of what you're doing.
Exactly. And for a final question for this segment, is there anything else like your platform out there? Is Infusionsoft, is it completely unique from others? What sets it apart?
You know, that's a great question. There are a lot of technology solutions that serve business in general, mm-hmm. and they do sales and marketing, but the vast majority are focused on large businesses. Infusionsoft is the only one that serves very small businesses with fewer than 25 employees, and we find that our competitor is typically sticky notes.
Oh.
Right? I mean, just people just not being organized.
I love it. Post-its?
Post-its,
three,
exactly.
3M is your competitor.
Excellent, yep.
I love that analogy. That's awesome. For right now, let's take a break. We're going to discuss more about this. I'm so excited to get back. For right now, you're listening to Women Investing, Women and Girls.
Join Kid Chef Eliana for Cool Kids Cook. Eliana is one of the youngest published cookbook authors and will show you that there are all kinds of goodness in food, beyond the chicken nuggets and fries. On our show, we'll discover cuisine from around the world, learn some great cooking techniques, speak with some of the world's top chefs, and share recipes. Kid Chef Eliana is here for you on Cool Kids Cook every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Bon appetit!
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Join us every week for the Paper Hope Street Team. None of our topics are off the table. This is a program that you can listen to and discuss with your family. From the pages of the Paper Hope blog to the internet radio airwaves, we'll talk about the topics you want to talk about, such as friendship and relationships, or some more controversial issues about sex, drugs, and underage drinking. Join the Paper Hope Street Team live every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Kids channel. Let's talk soon. You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at #WomenInvest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
And welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, sitting here today with Ms. Anu Bardwaj and Rebecca Sprinsonatic from Infusionsoft. Before you went to the break, we were just talking about a little bit about the background of Infusionsoft and what you do, your platform. But for right now, let's take a little bit of a focus on how it pertains to women. So first, as a woman in this platform, in this industry, what makes you so passionate about what you do?
Well, Infusionsoft is first and foremost a technology company. Mm-hmm. And when I started 5 years ago, I was one of the very few women at the company. It was dominated by engineers. They were all very nice, but they were also all men. And so it was an interesting perspective to come in as one of the few women in the company and try to introduce a little bit of diversity. I'm in the marketing department, and mm-hmm. so you tend to see in organizations that when you do have women, they tend to cluster into marketing or HR, sometimes finance. But today, our marketing department has nearly 80 people. I run our communications group, which is 17, and okay. 15 of us are women.
Wow.
So we have a little oasis of women within a big company of men.
That's great. I love that.
Yeah. And I'm really passionate about introducing our perspective across the company because study after study has shown that when you have more diversity in a group, mm-hmm. when you have more women in a group, better decisions are made, you get better financial results, and you typically, especially in marketing, can connect with your customers more effectively.
Absolutely. And are there aspects of your work with Infusionsoft that improve the lives of women and girls?
Absolutely. Our purpose at Infusionsoft is to help small businesses succeed. That's what we drive for every single day. Mm-hmm. And half of those small businesses are run by women.
Right.
And they often find that in the corporate world, they have limited choices. So when they go out to run a business, we want to help them succeed. And the statistics show that half of small businesses fail.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can change that statistic just a little bit, if we can make it so that only a quarter of small businesses fail, then we are helping millions of women succeed. And we're helping them live the life that they want to live. We're helping them do the work that they love. And we also find that women in business tend to be more focused on having an impact in their local communities, mm-hmm. and paying that success forward. So we see that we're having quite a big impact across the world.
So what would you advise to a girl who's maybe thinking about starting her own business, and knowing your background in small businesses and running them and helping them survive, what would you advise to them?
Oh, go for it. I mean, some of the most amazing businesses I have seen are run by women, because here's what women do really, really well that I don't often see men do. We listen and we pay attention. And we observe things in the environment, and we find opportunities. It's women who are innovated in interesting ways. Just to give you a very small example, there's an organization or a company called Moxie Girl, which is a cleaning service in Phoenix. They happen to be one of our customers, and I'm really busy, so I wanted a quote for them to come out and figure out how to do some weekly house cleaning services at my house. They noticed in their business that it wasn't just house cleaning services that people needed. So they asked me, would you like us to do your laundry? Would you like us to run errands for you? Would you like us to take care of your dry cleaning? We can help you find all these other services. And it was brilliant, because what they had done was looked around in the homes that they were cleaning, mm-hmm. and saw it wasn't just the housekeeping services. It was all these other things that that overwhelm us. So I think women are very observant of things that are financial opportunities and mm-hmm. business opportunities, and are really great at bringing those to market and understanding how to connect with their customers in a personal way.
That's really interesting, that story about that company. That's extremely revolutionized from what was preconceived that women could do through that field.
So right.
That's really, really interesting. And do you mind telling us a little bit about your women's group through Infusionsoft?
Oh, sure. So it started as a lean-in circle with Sheryl Sandberg. We all started reading her book, Lean In, and it was really interesting. And a few of us had just started chatting over happy hour one night. And we said, you know, let's just start doing this. Let's start meeting on a monthly basis, and let's talk about the concepts in this book. And soon we outgrew any bar that we could find. So we said, let's bring this into the office. We'll do it over lunch. We have a great space in Chandler with lots of big open meeting spaces. So we started meeting in one of the bigger spaces in our office. And there are probably about 60 or 70 of us in the group. And we rotate through. And somebody usually finds an interesting article or a book. And we discuss it. The concept of the group, it's co-chaired by a wonderful woman named Christine Rogers, who is our director of sales operations. We have a couple of rules. One is that we are open and accepting of all paths. So we have some women who have a family and kids. We have some women who are single. We have women who are trying to advance their career, others that are comfortable where they are.
Mm-hmm.
We pass no judgments about what women want to accomplish or look for their life goals. We are simply there to support each other and talk about what it's like to be a woman working at a technology company.
And what was the response in your company with men also? How did they respond to this type of thing before?
It's been very well received. As a matter of fact, Greg Head, who is our chief marketing officer and my boss, is speaking at our next event. He's very much a proponent of supporting women. Our chief technology officer, Mark Chesley, has 5 daughters. He's very much about changing the world so that mm-hmm. there's opportunity for his daughters. And there's just a lot of support across the company. So we often get curious looks, like, what are all those women doing in there? They look like they're having a lot of fun. And it's a great recruiting mechanism for us as well.
We talk about that a lot, is the idea that when we talk about empowering women, we're not singling out just women, and not saying that men also can't feel empowered and that they should be subjugated under women, because that's not right either. Two wrongs don't make a right. You can't fight fire with fire. You have to find a way to achieve some sort of balance, and I feel like you achieved that, right?
We're definitely trying, and I totally agree. One of the concepts that Gloria Felt talks about in her book, I just love her. She talks about how sometimes women have an aversion to power because we feel like it's power over something,
mm-hmm.
and and that makes us feel uncomfortable. And she said, switch your mindset and think about it as having the power to accomplish something, a power to do something. And that has totally shifted my mindset as a leader and the mindset of the leaders on my team as well. Mm-hmm. Because instead of shying away from leadership positions, we're saying, great, now we have a power to enact change and do great things and implement our ideas and be awesome. And that's something that we talk about a lot in our group too. And it works for men as well, because mm-hmm. women aren't the only ones who shy away from leadership.
So Gloria Felt is actually one of our partners for Women Investing in Women. Take the Lead and Women Investing in Women are going to collaborate on a couple different seminars that they're having, and they're also a strategic partner for us for our upcoming summit series, our Women Investing Women summit series. She actually has a seminar that's coming up in July, so stay tuned on our Facebook page about more details on that and how you can register. And I believe, Rebecca, you attended the Take the Lead launch that happened at ASU. We were all there with Sheryl Sandberg and Pat Mitchell and Carla mm-hmm. Harris. So we're very much aligning with Take the Lead, and they're supporting us and we're supporting them. So it's all about collaboration. One thing that I found very interesting in our conversation yesterday was one of your mentors, and I believe your chief marketing officer,
Greg,
who's got 5 women. And you want to share some comments that he might have had about what we're doing?
Sure. So it was our chief technology officer, Mark, who has 5 daughters. And I was telling him about you and I going out to happy hour. And he said, oh, my gosh, give her my card. I am so passionate about opportunities for women, because his oldest daughter is just starting college this year. And he wants every single one of his children to understand that there are opportunities anywhere, opportunities for them to do anything. And so he said, you know, this is my opportunity to change the world and make it a better place for them. And he makes decisions every day in his department that make it a better place for women.
Mm-hmm. And it's important that we do look for those opportunities, because they are out there. We've talked about that with scholarships, with other businesses, finding network opportunities through your platform and your company, and promoting those opportunities for people who own small businesses. People are afraid that they're not, that opportunities aren't out there, but they just need to look. They're there, right?
Yep, you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. And for right now, we will go on about the achievements of your women's group, because we talked about that before, mm-hmm. and there are just so many things that you've been able to accomplish that it's mind-boggling. It is so inspiring. So we will get back to that. But for right now, let's go to a break. And once again, I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter at #investinwomen or #womeninvest. Once again, you are watching Women Investing in Women and Girls.
Ready to explore the amazing world under the sea? Your host is a certified scuba diver, explorer. He likes to cook, and most of all, he's just a kid like you. You'll find out a lot more lies under the sea than what you've seen on TV, in movies, and even in aquatic parks. You'll learn about all kinds of fish, as well as other sea creatures. We'll take you to some exotic destinations and so much more. There's a whole big world under sea just waiting to be discovered. Tune in to Under the Sea, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Voice America Kids.
Sometimes we may sound strange, but remember, we're just kids with opinions. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
There's so much going on in the tech field. The tech team is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to the Tech Team. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
Looking for an on-air community where teens talk and the world listens? Tune in to Express Yourself, an entertaining adolescent fusion radio program where passion and possibility populate the airwaves. Our vivacious teen hosts and star-studded field reporters from around the country offer stimulating segments and invigorating viewpoints connecting with the world campus of young people. We'll talk with cool celebrities, exhilarating experts, and tenacious teens with experience. Tuesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. Express yourself. What do you want to do? Are you interested in the performing arts? If so, make sure you tune in to the Angel and Harmony Show. Angel and Harmony have experience singing, acting, and performing in general, and want to help you live out your dreams of the future. Whether you are interested in acting, modeling, dancing, or singing, this is the show for you. We'll even give you the scoop on being behind the scenes if you're a little shy. The Angel and Harmony Show is heard live every Thursday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
What's cooking? Join Kid Chef Eliana for Cool Kids Cook. Eliana is one of the youngest published cookbook authors and will show you that there are all kinds of goodness in food, beyond the chicken nuggets and fries. On our show, we'll discover cuisine from around the world, learn some great cooking techniques, speak with some of the world's top chefs, and share recipes. Kid Chef Eliana is here for you on Cool Kids Cook every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Bon appetit! You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at hashtag Women Invest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
And welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, sitting with Anu Bardwaj and Rebecca Sprinsonatic from Infusionsoft. Before we got to break, we talked about the changes that you've made through your women's group. It through your company. Do you mind explaining a little bit more about what you have accomplished?
Sure. Some of the more visible things that our group has accomplished include adding maternity parking in our parking lot. We have about 500 people in our Chandler office. We're a pretty young company if you look at our personnel. And we have a lot of women who are at various stages of building their families, and it's a really long hot walk across the parking lot in an Arizona summer.
Right.
And so in anticipation of that, we put in expectant mother parking, and it's been very, very well received by the expectant mothers and also the men across the company who would very much love to see their wives' companies have the same benefit.
And I bet they're jealous, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But it's interesting that other companies haven't made those changes yet. When you told me this at first, I was shocked to hear it, just because you don't see this. You see handicap parking. Mm-hmm. You see parking for people who will only take 15 minutes in a store. But you never see parking for somebody who physically is not able to walk across a parking lot like that.
Right.
Except Babies R Us.
Right. Oh, okay. Babies R Us.
That's one of the benefits.
Right.
Yeah. So true. We've done a lot of things for the women in our company who have families. We also have a mother's room, which is a comfortable, safe place for women who are nursing to take care of what they need to take care of at the office and then get back to work. It's really uncomfortable to try to go into a bathroom stall and do that, and our company's been very, very accommodating and respectful of that, and it's provided a path and a recognition for women who have started families that they can come back to the workplace when the time is right for them, and it's helped us get those smart women back faster too and help them balance their lives.
Is there childcare available in the mother's room or?
Not yet. I'm advocating for that very much. Although recently we just changed our benefits policy, and we had all of these evenings where people could come in and learn about it. And we understand that the employee maybe isn't the person who's making benefits decisions. We wanted them to be able to bring their families, but we also know that finding a babysitter on a Wednesday night might be a challenge. Mm-hmm. So when we hosted all of our informational benefits sessions, we had daycare on site so that people could bring in their families, have dinner, send their kids to daycare, sit down, and make the right financial decision for their family.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. We talk about having a sort of balance, if you will, between being a mom and working, and how it might be a little bit difficult to do both, and because of that, some women only take part-time jobs, or they might just get out of the work field altogether because they know that they can't juggle both effectively. They want to be both a good mother, they want to be both a good coworker. So how have these changes helped the women in your company to stay with the company and keep moving forward?
Sure. I'll talk specifically about my team in communications, although there are some great things happening across the entire organization. So my communications department includes 17 people, 15 are women. About half have children at home of various ages. The youngest is Katie, who just had twins. She's still home on maternity leave with them. We found that during the hiring process, there were some really, really smart women mm-hmm. who said, you know, I'm looking for a more flexible workplace. I would love to come in and drive your... I would love to come in and drive your PR strategy mm-hmm. or contribute to content marketing, but I really need the flexibility to be with my kids. And we said, great. So we have some people that April, for example, leaves every day at 4 to pick up her daughter. And we never once watch the clock to find out if she's putting in 40 hours a week, because in our department, we set goals and priorities. And if you can get your job done in 4 days or 40 hours, great. But I know that a lot of my people are working from home in the evenings, and it's not about... There used to be this perception that work-life balance was about clocking in 40 hours at the office where you only think about work, mm-hmm. and then putting in 40 hours at home where you only think about your family. And that doesn't happen. That's not how the real world works. I carry my phone with me everywhere I go, and I'm looking at work emails on the weekend, and I'm, you know, talking with my husband during my work hours. It's about integration these days, and we give our people the flexibility and trust to figure out that balance for themselves.
Right. We talked about each coworker being their own boss and how that can they benefit the whole company in the long run, because people don't feel that the stress about meeting that due date on time and doing what their boss tells them to do just because they say so, right?
Right. So we have very, very clear goals at the company. Our mission right now is to dominate the market of all-in-one sales and marketing software. And we set, as an executive team, quarterly priorities. This quarter, we have 4 quarterly priorities, and one of them is around improving internal communications. Within that, we have 2 people at the company that drive on that priority, and then there are little tangible projects underneath that people from around the organization can contribute to. So every single person has very clear goals that they're held accountable to, and that's how we measure their success. And it has nothing to do with when they're in the office. Each person on my team creates their quarterly plan, and they mm-hmm. present it to me. So they're telling me, this is what I'm going to do this quarter.
Right.
And I say, great, that's how we're going to measure your success. I can't remember the last time I told someone what to do. I mean, that's being a babysitter, not a boss.
That's
brilliant.
Yeah, that needs to be quoted. That's fantastic. I love it.
I want to get back to talking about Katie and about policies around maternity leave. And this is something that I know there are many advocates out there for right now. Anne Marie Slaughter, Sheryl Sandberg, Marissa Mayer, everyone has a different stance on what maternity leave and women in the workforce issues should look like. Mm-hmm. In terms of your women's group within Infusionsoft, what kind of changes are you looking for? And, you know, a mother like Tatie, she doesn't have just one infant now, she's got 2. And, you know, the question is, do they have 6 weeks off, or should they get a little bit extra because they've got 2 on their hands?
Right. We're working very hard as a women's group to find an answer to that that works for us. Right now, we have the standard FMLA, 6 weeks of maternity leave, plus any vacation time that someone has accrued. So Katie will be out for a total of 8 weeks, and then whatever, you know, paid for 8 weeks, and then whatever she chooses to do after that. And I'm not sure that she knows yet, and that's okay. I mean, that's a big decision, and mm-hmm. I'm sure she's not getting a lot of sleep right now either, I think. But I do think that, especially for someone who has multiples, that there should be, you know, a consideration of extending maternity leave. I also think we should be more flexible with men in taking paternity leave. Mm-hmm. I had a coworker whose husband worked at ASU, and when she had kids, she took her Infusionsoft maternity leave, and then he took his 12 weeks of ASU paternity leave and was at home supporting her and then taking care of their daughter.
Wow.
And I think that's brilliant. And if we want to give women an opportunity to have a family and then get back into the workplace so they don't stall their career, then we need to make it possible for their husbands and partners to support them.
And that's brilliant. That I didn't really even realize that ASU gives 12 weeks paternity leave.
It was incredible.
That's brilliant. So I read a statistic yesterday where they said there's only 4 countries in the world that don't offer paid maternity leave. An extended paid maternity leave, and that would be the United States, Swaziland, Papua New Guinea, and I think there's Nigeria, one more, but I can't remember the fourth one. But it's pretty sad that every other country in the world has figured this out. I was at a conference in Bali, the APEC Women in the Economy Summit that happened last fall, and there was a speaker there from Russia on my panel, and she said, you know, our country's so progressive, we even offer grandmother's leave. So if a grandma is, like, working and she has to leave to take care of her daughter's child, she actually gets paid, you know, paid work leave to take care of the grandchild. So you look at what different countries are doing. Scandinavia, for instance, where I used to live in Sweden, you have paid maternity and paternity leave. I believe it's 18 months total.
Wow.
So you can take it at different time periods. Do not have to necessarily take it right when the child is born. It could be like, you know, you switch off with your husband and whatnot, but your job is preserved, and you also take home 80% of your pay. So this is what other countries in the world are doing. So it kind of begs the question, like, you know, they have a very sophisticated economy. You know, men and women are treated fairly and equally, and people are still happy and they go to work. You know, could we be doing things better? And I'm really glad, Michelle, you're a part of this discussion and all our listeners out there, because these are issues that are ultimately going to affect you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to necessarily think about having paid work leave right now, and your mom would probably thank me for this.
Yeah.
But, you know, we definitely need this ironed out if we want to be a more progressive economy.
Well, I think, like, one of the issues that might come up is people might wonder, where is this money going to come from? Our economy in America isn't as at its strongest that it's ever been. However, I think some consideration needs to be made that the more you encourage people to maybe take just a few more weeks off, the more productive these workers will be.
Agreed. You know, it's interesting. I don't think productivity is tied to the hours that are put into a job.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's, you know, if you look at the declining return on investment that comes after a 12-hour day, I know that the work I'm doing at the end of the day is not nearly as good as the work I was doing at the beginning of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to get out there sometimes and go on a hike or clear my head, do something totally different. And so I think we sometimes think you've got to stay at it and work, you know, straight without a break and do all these things, and that's going to drive productivity. And it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to see that, you know, we could take 6 months off of a role and then come back and look at it with a fresh perspective and innovate in ways that that make much more advancements than maybe had we stayed for the 6 months straight.
Mm-hmm. And this has been a great discussion. And to all our listeners out there, please keep the conversation going. Follow us on facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, #investinwomen and #womeninvest. For right now, let's take a break. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and you are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls.
What about the world concerns you? Is it future success? Is it world issues? Are you just looking to change the world in general? Tune in to What Up World. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you look like. Everyone is entitled to the same chance for success. Follow your dreams. Move forward. Make a difference. Tune in to What Up World every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at hashtag WomenInvest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, joined with Anu Bardwaj and Rebecca Sprinsonatic from Infusionsoft. The last segment that we talked about was going over the benefits that women are receiving through your work in your company and all of the changes that you are implementing and how it's so groundbreaking in our society. And to keep on going through that revolution of sorts, why don't we go to the discussion about the support of women by their husbands and men and taking it from that viewpoint?
Sure. I'm a classic example of an incredibly lucky woman with a very supportive husband. My husband, Tom, does all of the cooking, all of the grocery shopping, all of the gardening. He keeps our house looking great. He keeps me very well fed. If it were up to me, I would live off of cottage cheese. I mean, I could never have the career that I have today if it weren't for the support that he provides from the hours invested in maintaining our home and from the emotional support. And, he's my biggest champion. So I can't imagine what it would be like to try to do this and shoulder the burden of cooking and cleaning and all of the things that studies show women do so much more of than men.
Mm-hmm. And I have a similar partner. My husband's a pediatric brain surgeon at Phoenix Children's Hospital. He has his own lab where he does stem cell research. But I would say that he shares equal responsibility in raising our daughter, Aria, who's 3 years old now. Cooking is my responsibility. And we eat well when I do cook. Other times it's somewhat challenging. I'm very lucky in terms of, him being able to help me while I maintain my travel schedule internationally. He's got a hectic international travel schedule as well. But I think real partnership happens when people support and nurture one another. And women of our caliber aren't going to be successful unless they have a supportive spouse.
Exactly. So true. Yeah, and we find, I don't know if this is true for you, Anu, but we find that we have seasons of busyness between my husband and I. As a grad student, he is basically a zombie during finals week, right? He is working on papers and studying and do all these things, and I understand that's my time to step up and take care of all of the things around the house and be more supportive and accommodating. We had our annual conference at Infusionsoft last week, and in the 6 weeks leading up to that, I was working, nights, weekends, all the time. My brain was always focused on that, and he was incredibly accommodating for me. So it's just a flow that we've found.
So how about taking that support even further? You mentioned before that some men are in their husbands are even going so far as to join their wives in their work.
Yes, we have so many stories of women entrepreneurs who are using Infusionsoft, who started their business and have been so successful that their husbands have left their careers to support the business or to raise the family so that the wife can focus more on her business.
Mm-hmm.
So one example is Lisa McQueen, who was our 2014 Small Business Icon winner. Lisa's husband, Hamish, had his hours cut back. He was in construction. And she said, well, how am I going to supplement our family income? We have young kids. So she started cleaning commercial office spaces and grew it into a $6 million a year business.
Wow. Yeah.
And now he doesn't do construction anymore. They work together on this business.
Wow.
Another woman who was on stage, Heather Lemire, she worked in a salon. She was working 14 hours a day, and her husband wanted to start a family. And she said, well, I can't do it if I'm cutting hair 14 hours a day, but I'm really good at marketing my business. Mm-hmm. So she opened an agency to help other salons. Mm-hmm. Her agency is wildly successful, and her husband Brian just left his career, and he's supporting her business, which is a nice reversal from a lot of the trends you see where a woman comes into a business and maybe does bookkeeping or, you know, takes care of things like that. So it's just one of many, many examples that we see in our community.
And through the scope of our whole conversation thus far, how can you relate this to the change of traditional roles of women?
Yeah. I love what your generation is doing. I love the confidence that I'm seeing from young women who understand that they can go off and do anything. And they can act like themselves in doing that. So when I went into business school, I had this idea that I was going to be a big corporate executive and I was going to be awesome. And I thought that I had to operate like a man to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm a very petite person. I'm short. I'm never going to be intimidating. I don't raise my voice. I don't get very angry very often. And so I had tried that out as a management style, and it didn't work for me. And so what I discovered was that it's okay for me to really genuinely care about my team. If someone is having a really bad day and comes to me and cries in my office, I'm okay with that. We can talk about it. We can hug. We can laugh. And then we can get back to work. But I've seen that situations have happened like that before with male bosses, and, you know, the guy kind of shuts down like, mm-hmm. Ooh, I don't know what to do about this. And it's awkward. And so I found that there are things that work really, really well for me as a woman in the workplace, things that work really well for women entrepreneurs. And we just need to lean into that and embrace that our styles may be different, and that is totally okay. And that's actually led my team to be more successful.
I actually studied that. I was able to watch Misrepresentation. It's a documentary talking about women's empowerment and the challenging of traditional roles that women have in our generation especially, and just the idea that what was once thought of to be the women's domain, the house, the children, cooking, cleaning, that type of thing, is completely thrown out the window. I mean, it's seen through movies, it's seen through other sorts of media about men taking the role of caring after the children as well through paternity leave that we just discussed, and the idea that what exactly classifies the man from the woman in the business setting, there really shouldn't be this defining line. Like, you treat or you the way that you portray yourself in the company setting is typical of a woman, that doesn't apply anymore.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
And I think in our culture, especially, I'm from the Indian culture, and my mother stayed home, my grandmother stayed home, and it was expected of me that when I was pregnant, my mom asked me the question, you're not going to work after you have the baby, right? And it was unheard of to really go back to work. My sister-in-law said, you know, that's not going to make you a good mother if you go back to work. So, you know, I think culturally some ethnicities have a longer way to go. But overall, I think this generation of women in various parts of the world, they're advocating that yes, you can have it all, and why shouldn't you have it mm-hmm. all? And you
exactly.
know, I think I've made the absolute right choice for my family and for my daughter, and my husband's strongly supportive. But you know, I think we should be talking about this not just at our level, Rebecca, but at Michelle's age.
Yeah. And one other thing I just wanted to point out, with my husband supporting our family in the way that he does, he often faced a stigma with people who kind of raised their eyebrows, like, why aren't you the one who's out making the money?
Mm-hmm.
So we as women also need to be supportive of men who are making different choices. We had a male executive administrative assistant who came in. He was the first man to be in that position at Infusionsoft, and there were a lot of raised eyebrows. Like, mm-hmm. what is a guy doing in that role? We have to, if we want to be supported in our choices to go into the jobs that we do, we need to support men who go into jobs that were traditionally filled by women and be totally okay and supportive with that as well.
Right. And the last thing that we should touch on is your upcoming events. What do you have going on, really briefly?
Oh, yeah. I'm getting ready to launch a Fierce Female Fridays feature. It's a lot of alliteration there. on our Big Ideas blog. And so I'm looking for women who are doing interesting, unique things. If you're interested in being featured, you can hit me up on Twitter. I'm at Rebecca Spry, RebeccaSpry. Give me a quick overview of your story, and I would love to feature you on our blog.
Michelle,
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for being on our show. We truly appreciate it. The insight, all of the things that really taking to heart, and I think all of our listeners will truly appreciate the information that you've provided as well.
Thank you so much for having me, Michelle.
Thank you. And to our listeners out there, please continue the conversation on Facebook.com/womeninvesting and on Twitter, #investinwomen and #womeninvest. Again, thank you to our listeners for listening. You've been listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. This show is produced by KidStar for the Voice America Kids Network. Up next, a track from the KidStar album of the month.
Thank you for joining us today. Your hosts will be back next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, for another edition of Women Investing in Women and Girls on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll talk then.
From Phoenix, Arizona, and host of Bookworm. The KidStar album of the month this month is Back in School, Neil Brewer and Friends. Let's listen to Three Kids in the Car.
Three kids in the car on a Monday morning, each one wishing that the others weren't born. And I can't say nothing because they've all been scorned because their mother's done had enough. And the sister's sitting in the front seat, who at this part of the song you need to realize is about 3 months away from getting her driver's license. She's thinking to herself, I can't believe that I'm still riding with them. I hope that we're not seen by some of my friends. And if by chance I fail the driver's exam, then I am running away. Three kids in a car on a Monday morning, each one wishing that the others weren't born. And I can't say nothing because they've all been scorned because their mother's done had enough. Brother sitting behind her, who at this point of the song you need to realize is about 5 years younger than she is, but he's still about 2 years older than his little brother sitting next to him. He glares down at his little brother and he's thinking to himself, I can't wait till our sister's finally gone. Then I'll sit up front cause that's where I belong. And I'll be rid of you, you miserable worm. Why don't you just run away? Three kids in a car on a Monday morning, each one wishing that the others weren't born. They can't say nothing because they've all been scorned because their mother's done bad enough. And the little brother, who at this point of the song you need to realize is a whole lot smarter than the other two think he is. He glares back up at his big brother and he's thinking to himself, I know that there's nobody back in the trunk. Try to scare me with all that junk. I hope you read my mind, I think you're a skunk. And guess what, I'm not running away. Three kids in a car on a Monday morning, each one wishing that the others weren't born. And they can't say nothing because they've all been scorned because their mother's done had enough. And the mother who's been driving all this time, she's thinking to herself, things that I'd better not say. So we'll just pretend that she's thinking, oh, what a beautiful day.
The KidStar album of the month is Back in School by Neil Brewer and Friends. All musical proceeds Neil Brewer and Friends received are donated to the Harvard Stem Cell Institute to put an end to muscular dystrophy. For more information, go to the KidStar website, www.kidstar.org.